Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone. And, you know, folks, it's 9 a.m. Central Time here in Houston, Texas, and I'm super excited, as always, to be able to do this radio show on Thursday mornings. Every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, you'll be able to tune in to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Now, for many of you that follow the show weekly, you know some of the things about me. And one of the big things this year was to make that New Year's commitment to a new word to follow closer and to try harder with, called obedience. And as I look at that word every day on my board, on a card, 3x5 card that's been taped to my monitor, you know, I realize how hard that is, what a challenge I put in front of myself. But if you think about it, any challenge that we take on, as long as we include God in it, the challenge is doable. Now, a lot of times, what gets in my way is only me. So I pray every morning that God will give me the ability to follow His word, follow His path, stay on the journey He has me on, and more importantly, be obedient to every step I take in my day, every word I say, every act I try to provide, and everything I assume to accept. So as you know, that's quite a challenge. And I think if we challenge ourselves like that, we're not going to always succeed. We may never succeed, but we will always be in the right direction with the Lord. And I think if we lean into Him, He's going to show us how to reap the benefits of those rewards that He provides for us, those blessings. So as I read this week, one of the things I read was about relationships. And once again, those of you who have been following the shows that I do for the last 7 years know that I'm all about building relationships. For me, doing internet radio is a form of networking with people around the world. Locally here in the Houston area, I have run and participated in a lot of business networking groups where you can go out and meet people. Also, Bible studies or small groups, being a volunteer at the church, always being in front of people that are new and being able to meet them, build a relationship with them. I didn't realize when I was reading the other day, it said something about what God wants us to do is to build those relationships so that a bridge can be built for Jesus to cross to bring that person to the Lord. So when I read that, I was pretty excited about that because, well, I just seen something there that I don't think I was looking at before. So I found it interesting that I was on the right path and didn't even know it. So my question is, do you do that in your day? Is there only a certain time of the day where you're conscious of the people that are around you? Are you even conscious of the people that are around you that you don't know? Are you the person that will introduce yourself to someone very quickly? Now, I know some of us are shy, right? But if you have the Lord in you, it's almost hard, or impossible, I should say, to not be able to express that. Now, I'm not telling you to take your Bible and go out and thump people over the back of the head and tell them that they got to go to the Lord. It's nothing about that. What I'm saying is, if you're standing in line at the store, at the cash register, if you're waiting to go down the aisle because someone has a card in the way, if you're in a department store and, you know, you're just waiting for someone to get their your children out of the way so you can walk down that aisle, instead of blowing air out of your mouth out of frustration, how about saying, how's it going today? You know, make some kind of a comment, a nice comment, so that, you know, you can open that door to having someone speak back to you. You don't know why the Lord put you in that spot, why you're in that spot, what you're going to learn out of it, what you're going to gain out of it. But we do know that every spot you're in, every day of your life, there's a reason you're that you're there. The choice that you made to get you there, the choice that God has for you to make to get out of there, the lesson that you can learn from it, the benefits that can come from it, and the people that you can help through it. So it's really important that when you're out there every day, breathing that fresh air, notice to the people around you, because you're not where you are because of you. You are where you are because of who you can help there. Now, I know it's hard to believe that someone would trust you to help others, but get over it. It's the truth. I know it's easier to accept that that's not what you're there for, because you don't have to do anything. But going through life not doing anything might be easier, but it sure isn't rewarding. And I don't know what kind of value that's going to get you later in life after. I don't know. I mean, you don't know either, right? But are you willing to take that chance? Because all you have to do is just treat people like you want to be treated. Just be nice. Say hi. You know, when someone's flipping you off driving down the road, it's almost an automatic response from a nerve that was built into your arm at birth, that your hand just goes up in the air and a certain finger stands out. I get it. Okay? I've been there, and I'm tempted most days driving through Houston to do the same thing over again. But here's the deal, folks. That's a choice. You know, what I found is a friend of mine she lips thank you to the people. And I don't know if you ever realize how hard it is to read someone's lips when you're going by them 60 miles an hour. But it's kind of funny because it doesn't look like thank you. Now, is that the right thing to do? Probably not. Is it fun? Yeah, maybe so. Will it help you get past that magic moment that you were at for a second? Probably. But I don't know that it's right. Sometimes it's better to turn the other cheek. And, you know, I've had people say, well, he must be having a bad day, or she just didn't see me over here in this 2,000-pound vehicle. Well, that's, I guess, another way to put blinders on as well. But the best thing to do is say nothing. Just say nothing. Or maybe pray for that person to get to where they're going safely, or that there might not be an emergency in their life that they're trying to get to. You don't know what their situation is, so you have no right to make that decision. Now, does it scare the heck out of you, and is it almost an accident sometimes? Yes. But the thing of it is, you're supposed to be forgiving, and you're supposed to, not encourage it, okay, but not allow it to come out of your mouth. Be obedient. Be better. Look at them and say nothing. You know, that old saying, if you have nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. It's hard, right? Because just think about it. For years, we've been practicing doing what we're doing. So are you going to be able to conquer this overnight? I doubt it. I was in a life coaching workshop a year or two back for a weekend, and they really talked a lot about the words that you say. The words that come out of your mouth turn out to be true, right? Well, it's not hard to believe. If you believe in the Lord, you know that everything is possible, and things that you pray for do happen. So be careful what you say. Think about others. Reap the benefit of being forgiving to them so you can be forgiven. There's a whole bunch of things in this here conversation, folks. And to me, it always comes down to obedience. And the reason why I picked the word obedience this year was for a very good reason. I need help in those areas. And I don't know if I'll ever master them, but I know that I'll always be conscious to work on them. And I know that every time we fix one thing, something else goes wrong. Because we're human, and that's the way we're designed. And so that at the end of our trail, we can know that we've accomplished a lot of different things on ourselves that made God smile. And along that path and along that journey, as we learn those things, we need to make sure that others can experience it. But let's face it, you can't walk up to someone in the store and say, hey, you know, this happened to me and I wanted to share it with you because I think it'll help you. You don't even know them. You know, just because you sit next to someone at church every week doesn't mean you know them that well. Sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. Take 5 minutes and have a conversation standing where you are. Learn more about them. Who knows? They might need to pray for you, or you might need to pray for them. You might build a friendship. You might bring them to the Lord. They might say something to you that made you better at what you do in your path with the Lord. So it's important to take time out every time you have the opportunity to recognize people. We all love to be recognized. So what's wrong with saying, hey, how are you doing today? You know, please go first. You know, hey, no worries. I got plenty of time. Just do what you're doing. How can I help you? You know, if you're at the grocery store, you know, a lot of people just leave their cart there, you know, in the middle of the parking spot. Or they kind of push it out of the way and put it in front of somebody else's car so they can get out. They're in a hurry. I guess we're all in a hurry, right? But we park, or we look at them as we're loading the stuff in our cart, and we always have a comment to make. Well, how about instead of doing that, just go get the cart and put it back with your cart? Because, of course, you are putting your cart back, right? So you're going there anyway. So what would be the harm? Or maybe you're just parking. How about taking that cart into the store with you? Or bring it to where all the other carts are. You're going to pass them anyway. Wouldn't that be better to do that instead of getting yourself all crazy about the fact that those people had no respect and left that cart behind? Because, you know, it's not about you. So see, these are some of the things that I look at. And as I go through my business day, you know, we run into all kinds of situations. Let's face it, if you're watching the news or you're taking a walk in your neighborhood, our world is full of crazy things. People and things. Just crazy. So you could actually sit back in the mall and be a people watcher, or in any big location of where, you know, heavily populated area. And you can crack up all day long. You can shake your head. You can get disgusted. There's all kinds of things you can go through. But it's a choice, right? Just like taking time out to know who that person is before you make that decision on who you think they are by the appearance that they show up. I read something the other day where I think it was in Rick Warren's book about, you know, how people describe people in a group. You know, the white child, the black man, the Asian lady, the Hispanic person. Why can't we all just be people? Why do we have to describe them by their race, their color, their nationality? Why is that? Why do you think that is? I don't think that's how God wanted us to do it. Matter of fact, I'm almost 99.9% positive that that's not the way God wanted us to look at our brothers and sisters. You know, it doesn't have nothing to do with that Italian person, or that Jewish person, or that Muslim, or that Catholic, or that, you know, that Baptist. None of that matters. What matters are their people. So how about staying, instead of saying that black child over there, how about the one with the red shirt on? Or the one with the pretty smile? Or, you know, how about the one with the, you know, very cool looking shoes? Or a great purse? Why can't we describe it like that? What do you think the reason is? Have you ever thought about it? I mean, we just sit there and describe people the way we think they should be described. But yet, if you were the fly on the wall when someone was describing you and it didn't sound the way you wanted it to sound, how would you feel? Would you feel like it was racist? Would you feel like it was disrespectful? Would you feel like it wasn't right? Would you wonder why they're pointing you out like that? Why they're describing you to be that way? Because it doesn't even sound like it's nice. So before you start deciding on those things, the only thing you can control is being obedient to the Lord, right? By deciding how you want to describe people in a crowd. It's just that simple. And it's going to take some work. Just because I went to a workshop, to help, a self-help workshop to improve my life, it doesn't mean that I improved it over that weekend. It's part of a plan, ongoing plan, to improve myself, to say better words, to watch the words that I say. And what about when you're by yourself and no one's around? Boy, that's hard. Well, how about when you're with your spouse or your friend or your child? How about asking them to hold you accountable to that? Because you're going to make that mistake. If you ask someone to be to help you hold yourself to being accountable, it's important that when they say it, that you just listen and don't respond. There's no excuse why you did it. There's just thank you for bringing that to my attention and move on. Now, these are the things that I think are important in life. Because if you get past that, life's full of smiles. And if you don't get past it, life is still full of smiles. Unless you opt in to not care at all about it. Now, you might have some laughs along the way. You're going to experience a lot of other things. And you're also going to find a way to deal with it. But I don't think it's going to be what you thought it was. And without the Lord in it, it is never what you planned on. So, just my little piece for this week. I hope that everyone out there, you know, finds the faith they need to lean towards the Lord to help them become better. Now, I'm seeing a note from my producer that my first guest has not shown up. And that happens. And it's a perfect example because when I first started doing radio 7 years ago, I'd be going crazy. Like, how dare them not do that? Okay, so get over myself, right? They didn't show up. They didn't show up for a reason. And for me, the reason was so I could speak longer on about the obedience that God's working on with me and how you can improve yourself and how you could make sure that the words coming out of your mouth are not misrepresented by anyone, including God, because you're aware of your surroundings, you're aware of your responsibility, and you are aware that the Lord is right next to you at all times. So my name is Tony Gambone. I'm going to take a commercial break. I'm going to find out what we got going on here, and I'll be right back. So stay tuned. This is Tough Talk Christian Radio.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm here every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I mentioned in my opening, we were talking about the word obedience. It's very important that you choose something in the year 2016 that's going to make you, well, just a better person, more godly person, someone that can lean closer to the Lord and depend on that leaning towards the Lord for a way to get through your day. It's not always going to be easy. And just the word obedience seems difficult just to start with. But remember, as we mentioned, if you tuned in late, we're not describing people by the color of their skin, their nationality. Okay, we're describing people by the person they are. And unless you know who they are, how can you describe them? So be a little bit more outgoing. Learn more about the people that are around you daily and be a part of that, okay? I mean, it doesn't have to be that Asian lady or that black man or that white person. It doesn't have to be any of that. Most of the time, it's easier to describe the person as the lady with the red shirt on, the man with the black hair, you know, that person over there with the Nike sneakers. There's a lot of ways to describe people that you don't have to use the color of their skin. Where they're from, their nationality, their beliefs of any sort, whether they might be Muslim, Jewish, Catholic, it doesn't matter. They're still all people. So try that out. Okay? And remember, when that person cuts you off in traffic, you don't have to say anything if you don't have anything good to say. Just know that. It's not mandatory that you respond to them in a foul or ugly way. So here, I want to bring up my guest here on the show. As I mentioned, my first guest has had to reschedule due to things going on in his area. But my second guest is a gentleman by the name of Art DeSantis. I hope I'm saying his last name right. And he's recently published a book called Bent But Not Broken. It's all about overcoming difficult circumstances through Jesus Christ and having a desire to never give up no matter the circumstance. He's pastored for 25 years and has seen firsthand the struggles that so many wrestle with. He's currently an evangelist and has been a licensed minister for 29 years with the United Pentecostal Church International. And he's also been married for 32 years and has 4 grown children and 5 grandchildren. So there you go, folks. There's a beautiful life right there in itself, okay? He's already way ahead of the curve. Art, I wanted to welcome you to the show. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir. How are you?
I am doing great. Okay. And, you know, I just want to say 32 years of marriage, congratulations. That's beautiful.
Thank you, sir. I have a wonderful wife.
You know, there's not a man out there that's not smart enough to say that whenever that takes place.
That's true. She's put up with me this long.
Yes, sir. So, Art, before we get started, there's a few things I'd like to go through. One, am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Yes, it's DeSantis.
DeSantis, okay. And where are you calling in from?
Calling in from Arkansas. I live in Alexander, Arkansas.
Okay. Yeah, all right, I know who that is. I'm here in Texas, so we're just kind of across the border.
But sir.
And is that where you're from originally?
No, sir. Originally from Southern California. We moved from Southern California in 1986, and that's where we've raised our family, is in Arkansas, and we've lived there ever since.
Hmm. What made you move there, Art, if you don't mind me asking?
I felt a call. I felt a call to go to Arkansas. We were asked to come and take a position in a church in Benton, Arkansas, as an assistant pastor. It wasn't a paid position or anything like that. It was just we've been praying for a while, a couple of years, that we knew the Lord had called us to work for Him. We just didn't know the place that He wanted us to be, and so we felt the call to come to Arkansas in 1986.
Interesting. You know, I talk to people that say that they felt the need, a call, a whisper, something mm-hmm. moved them to do something like that. And when you think about what you just said, you know, it wasn't a paying position.
No.
And you're in California, and Arkansas is halfway across the country. That's a brave move. I mean, so how, growing up, Art, were you a follower of the Lord at a very young age? It's something come along later in life to make you have that type of faith or commitment, because that's a big step.
Yes, sir. I actually, as a child, my parents took me to church, and they actually divorced when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And my mother, who we went with, we stopped going to church, and so naturally, as a teenager, I got into things that, of course, I'm not proud of. Drugs for a few things. I got into drugs and things like that, and I just my life was really going no place. And in 79 is when I found the Lord, and from there on, I've been doing my best to serve Him.
Hmm. It's funny. It took me over 50 years to find the Lord. And you know, I guess it was kind of good in one way that in those 50 years I'd done every wrong, almost illegal thing that there was to do. So I got that out of the way, I guess. You know what I mean? And it allowed it allowed me to be smarter in knowing the purpose of the Lord. It allowed me to be able to have the ability to have conversation with people in those neighborhoods, so to speak, that a person that didn't have anything in their background like that. So I used to be ashamed of it, and now I'm kind of thankful that I was able to make it through there to be able to serve in that purpose that I experienced going through there. So you have 4 grown children and 5 grandchildren. Are they all by you, or do they live in different parts of the country?
We have one daughter that lives in Missouri, in Sykeston, Missouri, but all of the other children, I have 3 girls and 1 son. Our son still lives with us. He's 21. He's the youngest. And the 3 daughters are married. 2 of them live close to us, and the youngest of our daughters lives in Missouri with her husband up in Sykeston.
Hmm. Now, have any of them taken the path that you're on, working in the
church? Yes, sir. All of my children go to church, and they're active in the church. My daughter in Missouri is married to a minister, and they're very active. In fact, he is pastoring a church right now in Charleston, Missouri.
Mm. Very good. Very good. That's awesome. You know, one of the things that I wasn't happy about it was I waited so long to find the Lord. And, you know, my youngest is 21, and, you know, they go up in age, but, you know, I'll be 60. So it's only been the last 6-7 years that this has taken place. So it was kind of hard to move them towards the Lord, and I pray every day for them. So I think it's special that you can reap the reward of seeing that take place from a younger part of their lives. So that's awesome. That is awesome.
You know, our children didn't always serve the Lord, but we're thankful that later on, you know, of course, they had their struggles just like everyone else. Even being raised in the church, you know, they had their struggles. And I'm thankful that there was enough foundation established that they realized themselves that they needed to come back home to the church.
Yeah, you know, I pray that my kids get to experience that strength in the church I just hope that they don't have to go through in their life what I went through to get there. You know, I'm hoping that they're a little bit smarter than my stubbornness. So, you know, but I just know that God has them right where he wants them. So I leave it to him, you know, and I wait for opportunities to have those conversations, just like the neighbor next door or the person I haven't met yet. So it's all good in my world with that. But, Art, I want to talk about your book, Bent But Not Broken, okay? And people can find it, and it'll be all over my social media. But you can just go on Amazon and type in Bent But Not Broken, and you'll see it there. Tell me what brought this on, and you know, how long did it take you? Did it take people to talk you into it?
Well, I actually was speaking out of town one weekend, and the Lord gave me this thought, Bent But Not Broken, and a message that he actually gave me that weekend, and there was something so special about it, and how he gave it to me, and just the message itself that was brought out, that he brought out. And I guess it was like 5 years ago, possibly, when I first got that message from him. And, you know, the more and more I dwelt on what he had given me, the more this particular theme began to be in my life, you know, about never giving up, about going through the struggles and persevering through all the obstacles that we face. And, you know, so about 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago, I resigned the church where I was pastoring. And so after resigning, naturally, a minister's like anyone else, you kind of wonder, okay, where do I go from here? What's my next step? Or, you know, is this it, or is there something else? And I was actually started writing a different book or something different that I had in my heart. And actually, the Lord stopped me right in the middle of it and said, I don't want you writing that. I want you writing this. And that's when he spoke to me for the first time to actually write Bent But Not Broken. And so he just began to speak to me, and I guess it took about a year and a half of, you know, of just allowing him to speak things to me. Most of these chapters that are in Bent But Not Broken are actually thoughts or messages that I had preached that kind of along the same line, but the Lord expanded them out and allowed me to be able to put this in this book. And that's how it all came about.
Well, Art, when you spoke about your life before finding the Lord, and then you wrote a book on Bent, Broken, and, you know, the cover, like I said, you can go on Amazon and see the book, Bent But Not Broken, but the cover has a tree that's bent, kind of blowing to one side, and in your journey in life, did you find that some of the things that took place back when you were younger made more sense now that you were writing this, that you had the experience knowing, or did it even compare? Was that part of the process?
Yes, sir. I could look back on my life, like you're saying, and I could see, you know, situations in my life to where that I could have very easily went a different way or taken a different path, but I see that, you know, like the tree, I had to go through a lot of things. You're talking about your kids going through things and my kids going through things, and we went through a lot. It's going through those things that actually, if you could learn from what you go through, you're a better person because of what happened to you. If you could think in your mind that this is not going to break me, no matter what I'm facing, this is not going to be the end of me. I'm going to make it and persevere. when you're through that trial and you're on the other side, you look back and you could actually draw strength from what you just came through. And, you know, in this world, when people need a positive thought, a positive message, you know, an encouraging word to tell them that no matter what you're going through, even no matter what situation it is, you know, God is going to help you get through it. But you have to just trust Him that He's going to get you through it.
Yeah, and I think the hardest part is back when you don't think God's paying attention or in your neighborhood helping you do what you need Him to help you do, or, you know, all that part of it. I think that's I think that's the struggle, without a doubt. But I find it interesting that God has allowed you to take your experiences and be able to help others through a story. Now, when people read the book, you know, and I want to mention again, you can get the book. Just go to Amazon, type in amazon.com/bentbutnotbroken, and you'll find this book. And one of the things is the reviews from people. What do they say to you? I mean, do the people in your church buy the book? Is it just when you're out speaking? And what are some of the feedbacks? What are some of the, you know, and Art, please understand, I know that, you know, I've written a few books, and it is nothing to do with me. It's just what God has me doing. So I know we give the credit to the Lord, but what are some of the things that you get from people after they read the book that they feel as though it has helped them?
Well, I tell you, a lot of times I'll go to a book signing, and I'll meet people face to face, and that's, and then they'll stand there with tears streaming down their face, and they'll be telling me what they're going through. It could be a divorce, it could be a child, it could be a situation, and that's really what stirs me. Or I'll get an email from somebody saying, "I just read your book. I want you to know it spoke to me, it spoke to my life, and I'm so thankful that I got this book, and I'm going to tell everyone I know about it." And those kind of emails and those kind of thoughts where people say, "You're a godsend," or "The Lord just put you here for this moment to give me this book." And that's what I'm getting back from it. I'm getting more, you might say, from it than others are, to the point that it's blessing me just to be with people. And like you say, we can't take credit for what God has given us. And you wrote a couple of books, and you know God spoke to you things that only He had spoken those to you. And that's the kind of feedback I'm getting from people is, "I'm so thankful that God gave this to you." And I don't know how you feel, Tony, but I feel that if I could touch one life, if one person can read this book and not give up because of it, it just makes it all worthwhile in doing it.
You know, there's a couple things that you said that that is so true. Like, one of the things, I've written my life story, and I wasn't proud of my life story until I found the Lord. You know, of course, I had to figure my kids are going to read it and all the different things, right? But once I got past that, I had other people read the book, and what they said to me, well, it makes you almost emotional. And then I decided from that to get a book together where, you know, 16 to 30 authors write a chapter in a book, a compilation book, of their journey in their life, you know, not about what they do, because no one really cares about what you do until they understand who you are. And I was amazed that, now it wasn't focused on God, I never used that, but I was amazed that 85% of the book mentioned God. And so I did a volume 2, and I plan on doing 8 more volumes of it. And I really believe, in the beginning, I thought of it as a marketing tool for people that were authors and speakers to get more people to help sell their books. Because as you know, you write the book, that's the easy part. marketing and selling the book, you know, right? So I thought, well, that'd be great. It would empower so many others, and it would do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And as the first book came and I read the manuscript, I laughed and I cried at the stories, and then I realized, wow, how empowering it is for the author when the people that read it acknowledge their story was so powerful, because no one thinks they have a powerful story. And
right.
I really believe that God wants us to build the relationship with people by being transparent and telling our story so that they're going to want to come to the Lord too. You
right.
know, so I really understand what you're saying about empowering your, it empowers you. You get more out of it than they do, not to be selfish, but, you know, it's just amazing that reward that God places back in your lap from being transparent with others. And I think
yes,
that's
sir.
What our world lacks today. So
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So let's shift directions here a little bit. Tell me about your church. I mean, you're still pastor in a church now. Is
no,
that correct,
I'm an evangelist now. I go to different churches sometimes. We do have a local church that we go to in North Little Rock, but about 2.5 years ago, we resigned the church, and there's another pastor there now doing a great job. So we're actually, after 25 years, it's kind of a different life, you know, and we're adapting to it, and it's been a wonderful journey.
Okay, so you're out. Tell me how... If someone wanted you to come to their church, are you only in Arkansas? Do you travel the countryside? Tell me about that. How can people find you to do that? Is that a possibility?
Yeah. Anyone can contact me. Do you want me to give you my email address? Is that on air?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That?
Mm-hmm. Please.
Okay, it's AJ and then my last name, which is DEASCENTIS. @yahoo.com. They can contact me that way. They're welcome to call me direct, 501-529-0799. They can call me direct that way. But we like I said, this is a new life for us, or a new way to minister. And I just love talking to people, you know, and it's just been a wonderful journey. I've really enjoyed it. I've never done anything like this before, being the first book, and it has really been a wonderful experience.
So, Art, what's the plans for the next book?
Well, I'm actually started my next book. It's I really haven't got a title yet, but I have. I just got done with the first chapter. You know, like you said, writing a book is one thing, but promoting it and getting it out there where folks know where it's at, that's another thing altogether. And so I basically work, I'm self-employed. I'm in the security business, so I do that most of the time. But it gives me a flexibility that if I'm needed somewhere, I can go wherever I'm needed. But I work during the week, and then on weekends we might travel here and there if someone asks us to come. But we're mainly in Arkansas as far as book signings and things like that. But we're wanting to branch out. It's just, it's a slow process, as you know.
Yes. Yes, and there's an organization here in the state of Texas, and you might want to check this out because you're right over the border, and I know the founder, and I know that he's reaching in other states as well. It's called txauthors.com, And he is an organization that markets authors in the state of Texas, and as I said, some of the surrounding states like Louisiana and Arkansas, Oklahoma, different places like that. He's been doing this for about 6 years now, and at the end of April, the last Saturday of April, he's having a two-day event, the last Saturday and Sunday of April, a two-day event in Austin, Texas, for authors. And he has people coming there, and we do a show actually on Tuesday afternoons to market this event. I'm one of the presenters there, but there'll be 13 people speaking on the different things, from promotional stuff from a printing organization for your books, editing, how to turn your book into a movie, you know, all the different things. What I like about this, Art, is that, you know, if you go on there, you'll see, I think it's $75 for the year. And if you send in a couple of your books to him, what he does is he goes around and does book shows, book fairs, you know, maybe 7 to 10 times a year. And he brings people's books there, and he sells them on the table. So it's another form of marketing, and he's such a servant. I keep telling him he needs to double or triple his price because he's giving away too much, right? But it's just his heart. It's what he really has a heart to help authors. So if you get time, check out txauthors.com, and you'll see there's a tab there that says COAD, the Celebration of Authors Dinner, and you'll be able to see the lineup and what they're doing. It might be worth the drive down for an overnight stay in Austin to check it out and be a part of it and meet the other people there. I always feel like, if you get in the room with like-minded people, so maybe I'm just crazy, Art, but I think like everything is a small group or a Bible study. When you associate with a small group of people that are in the industry that you're in during the day, you can brainstorm, as long as they're not threatened by you, you can brainstorm and figure out how to grow business bigger. And the same thing with authors, and if you can continuously to learn what others are doing, some of the easier things there is, how you don't have to spend a fortune to sell a book for $10 or $15, then it's worthwhile. It kind of allows you to be better at it. So that's something that I do with my radio shows. I find that the people I meet, like yourself, I'll meet someone looking for a speaker in Arkansas to come to a place. I'll be reaching back to someone like you and say, hey, look, this person I want to do an introduction to you. I think that's why God has me doing a radio show. It wasn't because it was a lifelong dream. You know, when I was a kid, there wasn't the internet. You know, so I really find that that's another way of fellowship, you know, and what you do when you go around and speak to people at different churches or different parts of the country, it's the same thing. You're sharing that message, not because, you know, you're getting paid $1 million, because it's your duty to share what God has shared with you. So I think that's awesome, and I can't thank you enough for doing what you do.
Well, thank you, and I'll certainly look into that. That sounds like a wonderful trip. I think me and my wife would love to go to Austin and spend a couple of days and take a look at that. That would be wonderful.
And I'm being selfish, Art. It gets me a chance to meet you face to face. So, you know, I just got to be honest, right? But
yes, sir.
So anyway, we always run out of time here, Art, and I know I'll be reaching out to you, and I know that you'll be getting emails with the link to the recording of the show, so if there's anything I could help you with, please reply to that email so that I can reach out with you, and we can talk off air and see what I could do to help you. What is one of the things, Art, that in the year 2016 you want to share with people out there that they might need to do? I mean, I know the first thing on the list, and I know that the people listening take notes, but the first thing on that piece of paper is to go to Amazon.com/bentbutnotbroken and buy the book. Second thing is to email Art and let them know what you thought of it, and don't even be afraid to write a review on the page. It always helps. But what is another thing that you want to tell everybody out there that they need to do this year?
Well, I tell you, in this time, we all need to come together. We need to come together. We need to love each other regardless of what we look like on the outside or what our background is. We need to come together. If America is going to be great again, we got to come together and love one another and care for one another. And, you know, years ago, I used to hear stories of when I was young about someone who had a disagreement with their neighbor. What would they do? Would they let it just fester and go for a long period of time? No, they would probably bake a cake or something or a pie and take it over there and make things right. You know, I think we need to get back to the basics. We need to love family. We need to love God. And we need to love others. We need to put others before ourselves. And I'd like to see America be that way again, you know, us caring for one another and being there when we need each other.
Well, as I said before, Art, I really appreciate you taking time out and sharing with our audience, you know, your journey with the Lord. And I look forward to the next book coming out. And I'll be praying that I get to meet you in Austin and your wife as well. So I want to say have a blessed day and thank you so much again for being a part of our show.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it very much.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and wrap it up. So we'll be right back after this here short break.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD. Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Great interview with Art DeSantis calling in from Arkansas, and hopefully we'll get to meet him in Austin here at the end of April. Check out his book. It's called Bent But Not Broken. You can find it on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com/Bent But Not Broken with Reverend DeSantis. And, you know, folks, if you're out there and you're not connected with me on social media, hit me up on Facebook, Tony Gambone or Tough Talk Radio Network. And all this information is always posted up from the shows as well. If you missed the beginning of the show and you want to go back and listen to it, go to toughtalkchristianradio.com and get the archive, as well as it's on iTunes and Spreaker. Also, you know, if you're looking to host your own radio show or become a guest on a show, reach out to me, info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. I'd love to chat with you about that as well. We're always looking to market people, especially on this show. If you're doing things that you feel are done through you, through the Lord, we'd love to have you come and tell that story on our shows. So my name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. I hope that you will join us every week, and I hope that you'll go to Tough Talk Radio Network and see the other list of shows. We have a new show starting in March. It's called Writers Nations Radio, and you're going to be impressed with this show. Two young ladies are going to be co-hosts in the show. We're going to be helping authors from around the world. So, once again, I hope everyone has a blessed week. We'll see you next week, and thank you.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.